And welcome back to another episode of City View with Mayor Tom Koch. I'm his media director, Mark Carey. It's great to be here in the mayor's office. And might I also say, welcome back, Mayor. I believe, if I'm right, I believe you are the highest paid mayor in the world, or could be. Is that right? Or at least the second highest paid in the country. Is that it?
That's the word around town, certainly in the press and on the social media. But I don't know what a Bürgermeister pays in Germany, but... No, it's you know, no matter how we approach this issue, it's very difficult, and it's very difficult for me as well, even to talk about it, because the only person that can put the raise in for myself is myself.
Yeah.
So it's with all humility that I do this, but I've had one raise in 17 years. We are a $500 million corporation. We have thousands of employees. We are a 24/7 operation. We have put together an incredible renaissance in the city and development and public parks and schools and all. So as the CEO, I think I'm performing fairly well. Not everyone likes me. I understand that. I don't have to go far to find that out.
And I don't want to put you on the spot here.
No. I got to deal with it. So, of course, we engaged. I asked my municipal finance director to find a company to engage with to look at this from an outside source. And, of course, they did. I was shocked at the range they recommended, which I am not going with. But no matter how you do this, it's never easy. So immediately, the press grabs the high number and runs with that number and running around.
Well, that's the headline. Patriot Ledger and Boston Globe.
All of them.
And
I mean, it's just the way it is today in the world.
Ridiculous.
So, you know, they run with that. So, you know, I've got a lot of emails, calls, and et cetera. So, look, there's people out there. If I got a $10,000 raise, they'd be flipping out. I mean, when you look at the job, it's the CEO of a corporation, public corporation. It's also the mayor. The city of Cambridge pays the city manager $325,000 and pays the mayor $125,000 to do the ceremonial stuff. Well, we do it both. Towns all throughout the Commonwealth are little towns now, small populations, small budgets. Those towns are anywhere from 200 to 260.
Right.
The town of Plymouth, it was 293 last year. I mean, I could go on and on with comparisons. Yeah, you'll find comparisons lower as well out there. You know, again, because of the way this is done, mayors traditionally are paid lower than what I believe their responsibility entails and what should equate to. So, here it is. We're presenting Monday night on the city council. We're going in with a number and also going in with a raise for the city council, a separate ordinance. It's been 10 years since they've had an increase as well, and it's not easy for them. It's easy for them to put, for me to put a number in for them. It's hard for me to put a number in for me.
Right.
So we took all the information, went through the documents and all, and I think we've come to a number that people still will be unhappy with certain people, but I think it's more appropriate for the mayor, CEO of the city of Quincy.
Well, and just to, again,
it's going to be below that range that was recommended.
Right.
The range was 298 to 370. I almost threw up when I saw that myself. But it'll be below the low number of that range, but I think it's adequate.
In an effort to be transparent, to show what the company was actually suggesting, that was the idea, to let it be known. And of course, the papers, just to sell papers, use the headline. Could be the second highest paid mayor in the country, and every news organization picked it up. So it's a story that runs away from you. But if you actually read the story, most of the stories were pretty tame, and it was a nothing burger story.
Well, I mean, it is what it is. I've been in this business a long time, so there was no way easy around this. If we brought a number in and didn't have a study done, people would be screaming, "Where'd you get the number? Where's the study? Where's the backup?" So we do the study and the recommendation, and of course, folks flip out on that. So, you know what? It is what it is. I stand by the number I'm submitting to the city council. I've worked for almost 40 years in public life in the city. I've given 70 hours a week in every job I've had for the city. I love the city. And if I was independently wealthy, I would do it for nothing, Mark.
I think if I took a look at your DNA as opposed to my DNA, I think, but your DNA is full of Qs. You are... Quincy is in your DNA, so I totally get it. The guy never leaves the city, ever.
It's a great community.
It's a great community.
It really is.
So you breathe it. So
I also respect people's opinions. They don't have to agree with it. They don't have to agree with me, and that's life. We don't agree. Very few people agree on everything, so this is another one.
So, well, I appreciate you just setting the record straight. People are still going to say what they want to say, but that's okay. I thought it was worthy of at least a mention. And again, he hasn't taken a raise since 2015, is it?
10 years ago, roughly. So, yeah, in that range, 23.
Okay. In an effort to continue to talk about the city finances, let's talk about the budget, because it is budget season. So in front of you, I just gave you the iPad with the budget. And, you know, again, people can't see that. I don't know if you know, this audio does, you know, people don't see the, you know what I mean?
They do not care. Yeah. Technology has
just want to see if you're paying attention. Mayor Koch, please, let's talk through the budget a little bit in of 2025. This is the 2025 fiscal budget and how that works, and basically just fill us in some of the details.
Sure. Well, this is the time of year every city and town does their budget. So under state law, our fiscal year is July 1st to June 30th. So this budget is for July 1st of 2024 through June 30th of 2025, therefore making it the fiscal year 2025 budget. Half a year in each calendar, but this is the fiscal year. So this year, what we really presented to the city council was a stable budget. We talked about stability. There's no cuts to services. There's no layoffs or position cuts. We still have a substantial excess levy capacity, and I'll get into that in a minute. We have a continued destination for private investment. Our bonds sell quickly at great rates. We're AA rating by S&P Global, and a lot of the decisions we made earlier on in the administration are now coming to roost in a good way that led to the stability to where we're at.
And by the way, I just saw, I mentioned this to you before, but it's worthy of mentioning on this podcast, we just saw your CFO, Eric Mason, was just on Bloomberg News nationally talking about some of that, utilizing some of the funds, and we're the first city in the country to...
Well, a digital sale of a digital bond. I mean, I'm surprised Eric went on. He's very shy. He usually doesn't like the limelight. But Eric and his team have done a phenomenal job in municipal finance. Really, we brought the city forward tenfold on that side. I mean, and I'll talk a little bit about the bond issue for the fully funding of a pension system. But before I do that, I mentioned no layoffs and position cuts. If you look at the communities around us, and I'm not pointing it out in a gleeful way, but... they're struggling. There's a lot of communities now that are doing cuts, layoffs, teachers, firemen. They got overrides on the ballot. And I want to talk briefly about that. So we all live under what's called Proposition 2.5, which was passed back in 79 or 80. It was implemented in 81, 82 by then Frank McCauley, which drastically cut city, towns, and budgets. Huge. I mean, the park department, for example, back then was cut 50%. You know, so it was a huge hit. And going forward from that point on, the way it works is that the total amount of taxes we collect from commercial and residential is called the levy. So that levy that we have each year, you can only go up 2.5% on that levy. A lot of people think it's 2.5% on their bill. It's got nothing to do with the individual bill. It's on the levy. So since I've been in office, I think we're approaching $400 million in excess levy capacity. In other words, we're not near the cap. A lot of towns that have to have a Prop 2.5 override on the ballot, that means they're at the cap. They're at the full levy limit. So they're voting to vote in, perhaps or not, but voted to pay more taxes, essentially, to pay for their operation or to pay for a separate project. We've never done a Prop 2.5 or an override in Quincy. We're in our fifth new school. We've built every park, playground. We're building seawalls. We're building roads, pipes, sewers, water. And I'm proud of that, and I'm proud of the relationship and the partnership we have with the city council. So we have a long way to go to the cap, so we're not in that predicament. Now, one of the major decisions we made, I mentioned decisions made yesterday, lead to stability. Just a couple of years ago, we put a bond issue through for $475 million to fully fund the city's retirement system. And under state law, we would have had to be fully funded by 2040. And when we looked at that graph, can you see the graph out there, folks? And when we looked at that graph, the number every year was going up dramatically to meet that obligation. A few years ago, we started the discussions with Eric and his team, outside advisors, and we looked at potentially bonding the entire remaining of what would be the fully funded. So that number was 475 to get us fully funded. And we moved forward on it. The city council voted to support it. And we got a 2.6% interest rate on that, which is like free money. It's unbelievable the number we got. It was historically low. I mean, we weren't finished with that. And within 3 months, the interest rates were popping already in a dramatic way. So by that, making that decision, I know some people are critical. I borrowed too much money, too much debt. Well, let me put it this way. So that one move on the bond, this year, we would have been looking at $26 million more that we would have had to pay in our budget this year. We would have been at the close to the Prop 2.5 cap.
Wow.
So that's what I mean about decisions we made in the past puts us in a better place today.
And how much money overall do we save by doing that?
So it could be $180 million over the 19 years. And it was a tough vote. I had to get 6 votes in the council. We got the 6 votes, but it wasn't unanimous because I know people are afraid of it. It's a lot of money. I understand it, but it's pure math, Mark. Well,
other
pure
cities
math.
And towns were looking at this. They just didn't pull the trigger, right? We did.
Well, they were slow to the starting gate, and by the time they get moving it, the interest rates move too much, and then you lose the advantage.
Understood, yeah.
So we were very fortunate. The stars were aligned. We were very fortunate on that. So some of those decisions made in the past put us in this good, stable spot now. And I'd also say, you know, it's the fall when we do the taxes. It's budget, then we'll call for what we need for taxes, and we make that decision in the fall because we don't know yet what a new growth number is and some of the other factors that that go into the decision on what the number will be. But I will say that we continue to be right in the middle of the pack on tax burden, Quincy versus the rest of the Commonwealth. I also will say and brag that we're at the top of the heap for services. And pick one. You pick it. You know, it's like schools are doing very, very well. Class sizes are very manageable. 911, they're there in a couple of minutes. I mean, great rubbish pickup, snow plowing. The parks are beautiful. The libraries do a great job. The senior center, veteran services, you could go on and on. We have the best in services, and it costs money to maintain those. So we're doing it in a good way. The part two of this was some of these towns are in trouble because they have not had any development. It's easy to say no. It's harder to make decisions to increase growth in your community because a lot of people don't like change. I'll give you an example. A woman, I might have said this on another show, Mark, I'm not sure, but a woman grabbed me at one of the events at the senior center, and she said, "There are enough apartments. We don't want any more apartments." I said, "Ma'am, where do you live?" She lives at Squanum Gardens, one of the apartment buildings. It's not that old. I said, "Ma'am, you have a home now because we built those. There's a lot of people that right now don't have a home that need homes in this Boston region. In Quincy region, and there's a great demand right now for increase. And, you know, the old argument about affordable housing, well, the way you create more affordable housing is you stabilize the rents. How do you stabilize the rents? By building more housing.
Yeah.
So now I'm not saying we shouldn't have dedicated affordable, but just by building more units helps with the stability on the rent situation. So we've been embracing development, I think, in the right places. Again, that's a point that we could argue forever with individuals, but it, you know, when I look at the Bozzuto project at North Quincy at the T station, it was 8 acres of asphalt. It wasn't producing anything. You know, Bozzuto Atlantic Development built 620 apartments, 40,000 square feet of retail, new garage for the people that would be using the T. So they're paying taxes, they're paying the T lease money. That's a whole other story, but they need the revenue going forward. It created jobs, and we created homes for people to live. And I'm told that the average median income in people living here is like $120,000. So these are good paying jobs, people that want to be on the T or near the T and want to be in a community like Quincy that is safe and that offers all these opportunities I mentioned, including the open space and, you know, the jogging and biking, and you got Wollaston Beach Reservation and Blue Hills Reservation on the other end. So it's an awful lot of opportunities. So I think we've built out the city in a responsible way. And in return, it brings new tax benefits, new growth to the levy, thereby giving us the money needed to continue to provide services. So it's easy to say no, but some of those communities that have been saying no now are having to deal with the implication of that.
And that's also some of that forward thinking that you were just mentioning before in the stability. We've had an influx of people. I don't know how many more thousands of people are now living in the city of Quincy and paying in those. That's property taxes coming in.
That's right.
If those decisions weren't made, just like the decision with the pension obligation.
That's right.
Bond, we would be in a different place. We wouldn't necessarily.
That's exactly the point, Mark. We've made some hard decisions, tough decisions, and I say we, the administration with the council and so many folks involved in it, that make a difference, and those dividends pay off over time. The pension obligation, when again, people squawk about, and look at, there's detractors out there that will. If I walked on water, they said he can't swim. I mean, I get it. You don't like me. That's fine. You know, we'll move on. But in reality, the stuff we've gotten done for the city, advancing the city, we're one of the premier communities in the Commonwealth now. I hear that from everywhere I go.
Yeah,
people are talking about Quincy, the changes and the incredible new vibe and all that goes with it here in this city. So what was once a sleeping community for Boston is now a vibrant community on our own. We're a small city, but we're becoming a world-class city.
We are. And moving on to the budget now. Some
moving
budget
on
highlights.
To the budget. Sorry, I certainly hit on some of this stuff. And again, the debt service, for example, we'll be doing a full bond for the Squanum Elementary School, but we'll be getting some 60-some-odd percent reimbursement from the school building authority in building that school. So on our fifth school, we get reimbursement from the state. They share in the costs of these new buildings. Again, fifth new building for the city.
Unbelievable.
It's good stuff. We continue to do the roads. We did a council-approved, 4 years ago, I believe it was, $100 million of a CIP road program. So on the water sewer side, we're spending money on fixing pipes, putting relining sewer lines, replacing water mains. We have the national grid in replacing gas lines. And when that's all done, then we go in and rebuild the street, new curb, new concrete sidewalks, and the new street. So that's been going well. We're a big city with a lot of streets, but we've made a lot of progress over the last 3 or 4 years with Al Graziosa, the Commissioner of Public Works, and his team done a great job in that. Mm-hmm. Seawalls, I mean, we in the design phase for the next stage of the seawall that we finished up down in, well, it touches Marymount, Adams Shore, and Howes Neck, and down by Manet Ave, the next phase, we're under design now, so we get that done. I mean, we got the climate change issue, and we got to deal with. So we got the seawalls, and we got the tide gates that people forget. We have a lot of tide gates in the city. And they got to be managed and maintained. Otherwise, we're going to have a lot of backup with flooding as we continue.
That's
to
the stuff that people that it's not the sexy stuff that you can't
no, it isn't.
Talk about.
It
but
isn't.
That's important.
And then, of course, public buildings. I mentioned Squanum School. You know, this summer we're opening the Richter Christopher Learning Center. That's for special needs kids with autism challenges on Old Colony Ave. That's going to be tremendous. The animal shelter set to open early 2025.
It's amazing.
You know, and then of course we just did another capital improvement plan for $15.6 million for citywide building improvements. That's roofs, boilers, windows, you know, some pretty basic things that I think people can connect to at home. You know, sometimes you get a home equity loan or something to do work on the house. You don't have necessarily that kind of money in the bank. And your house is an investment. It has value. It's an asset, so you can loan against that asset. It's no different in the city thing, except it's a much larger scale. And let me also say this, that The bonding folks that, you know, we have to get each time we go for a bond, we have to get a rating. And they look at everything about us. One of the things they look at is not necessarily how much money you have in the bank or other factors financially. They look at how are you maintaining your capital assets. So if you're ignoring your capital assets and you're just building the bank account and you go to borrow, you're going to get whacked because it, you know, you got to maintain those capital assets over time because that's an unfunded liability if you don't. Mm. You know, we got more than 80 city buildings with 20 schools, we'll be 21 schools soon, and of course the firehouses, the libraries, the police station, which is ongoing. We know that's going to be opened up next year, October of 2025 as well. We've got to continue to move the city forward. There's an old corny saying, Mark, that, you know, leave it a little better than you found it. And I think that's true, and we should be doing that. So as much as some people say, well, you're leaving the next generation with a debt, well, if we didn't do the work, we're going to be leaving this next generation with an unfunded liability that would cost a hell of a lot more down the road to do these repairs. Because if you don't fix the leaky roof, you lose the plaster. It gets into everything else. You know?
Times 85 buildings.
That's right. Yeah. So, and then of course, you know, I mentioned the Department of Natural Resources. We've done some great work at Mount Wollaston Cemetery. If you haven't been up to Pine Hill Cemetery in West Quincy, abuts the Blue Hills, absolutely incredible. That's going to provide an additional 13,000 to 14,000 graves going forward, cover the city. Again, that's not something you think about until you have a loss in the family. Mm. And that's okay. What do we do now? You know, so and that bond issue, by the way, gets paid back by the sale of those lots. So as the cemetery sells the lots, it pays off the debt. So again, for those critics out there in the debt service part, there's plans here that make this stuff work. Mm-hmm. Friends Book Golf Course, we're spending some money up there and on the park, but we have income coming in from the operation that helps to pay the debt service, if not all of it, most of it on that park. Another great opportunity. What too? We just got city council approval for purchase of an old car wash site on South Street, right by Cleverly Court. It abuts the Malcolm McNeil and Joy Hanlon Field soccer fields that we'll be able to add to. And then we got control. We appreciate the work of the MWRA and the legislature. Another piece of land in Cleverly Court that we can create a park out of. That part of a city down there, the shipyard, has been heavy industrial. We're having more residential buildings built. We need some outside space for people to enjoy. So that's in the works. The loan sale statue we're going to dedicate this summer. That's been largely grant money and opera monies. So a lot of things going on in our public spaces. So, you know, we're in a good place. The city council now has begun their finance committee meetings. I think the first one was Monday night on the revenue side and a few small departments. So I believe tonight Wednesday night is a number of departments, including police and fire. They go up, make their pitch. Councils ask their questions, and that's the process. So council has 45 days before the end of June 30th to act on the budget, and I look forward to the continued dialogue with the council to get this thing done.
Well, I think that's a good little taste of what's happening right now in the budget.
The budget's before them. So it was presented last week. Pay attention, Mark. And Monday night was the first Finance Committee meeting on the budget. So it goes into finance when it's introduced. So, again, tonight, Finance Committee meets again, and they will discuss the number of budgets departments that will be there. I think there's another hearing. I think they finish up June 3rd as far as the calendar goes. That can always be moved if they need more meetings. And, of course, now, you know, I give the bottom line to the school department, and then I become one of seven members of the school committee that make decisions about the school budget going forward. But it's fully funded, no cuts. We've been able to grow programs over the last several years. It's a little tighter this year, so there's not a lot of new growth there, but it's adequate for what we need on the school side. So I look forward to work with my colleagues on that side of the street and Superintendent Mulvey and his team. So it's that time of year.
Well, it is exciting, and I think it's good.
I don't know if it's exciting, but
it's good to get that out of the way and talk about the budget a little bit because people do want to know about it. I also think it's good to talk about what's coming up. We have the Platters are coming here this weekend. Did you know the Platters still alive?
They did.
Yeah, they mostly did, actually. But this is the Platters, the official Platters, anyway. They'll be here this weekend for a big event on Saturday. You want to make sure you join us for that. That's a celebrate musical journey through the decades at the Hancock Adams Common. Music of the 40s and 50s. We'll be doing 60s and 70s, 80s and 90s. That's how it's going to work for the summer. We have a lot of events happening this summer. We're going to talk about Flag Day in the upcoming episodes here. But you want to make sure you come out to see this thing to this weekend. We have a nice big band coming as well. The Boston Lindy Hop people will be here. It's going to be a great event, and that will be on the Hancock Adams Common from 1 to 7 p.m. That's a long day. May 18th. 1 to 7 p.m.
It is a long day. John McDonald's trying to earn his money, huh?
It's on May 18th, Saturday, from 1 to 7 p.m. Make sure you come out. It's going to be a great day. A lot of these free events, they're really something else. Bring a chair, sit out in the Hancock Adams Common, enjoy some amazing music. There's always food trucks and things like that happening with some. You can grab a drink, play a lawn game, whatever you like. It's going to be a great event. And on that note... It's great to be back on City View with you, Mayor.
Always a pleasure, Mark.
Looking forward to talking
really.
About
sometimes it's a pleasure.
There he goes, the highest paid mayor ever.
I'm going to have to make cuts to fill my salary, so you're on the block, Mark.
All right, then. I better be careful. We'll see you next time on City View here with Mayor Tom Koch.